The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do Christians ever experience God's wrath and need to be delivered from it? How does the book of Romans help to answer this question? Well, stay tuned and we will talk about it. This is Grace in Focus. Glad you've joined us today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Come to our website, faithalone.org, and find out more about us, especially our national conference, which is coming up in May, May 19th through the 22nd. We would love for you to join us, especially if you're a first-timer. We will waive the registration fee if you are. And if you're not a first-timer, get signed up, come and join us again. Find all the details at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we got a question from one of our YouTube viewers today. And Larry is asking, regarding the people subject to God's wrath in Romans 1, verses 18 to 32, can those people be believers and be subject to God's wrath?
And doesn't he say, as he goes on, that he finds that kind of hard to figure out?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, are the saved people in those verses just... they don't seem to be saved eternally there, or I guess it's like there's a lot of negative consequences. And so,
okay,
you know, I think he's kind of like, can believers really be subject to all this?
Yeah, let me say, first of all, that Zane Hodges' view that Romans is about deliverance of believers from God's wrath in this life is a very unusual view. Most people think the issue in Romans is about justification by faith alone. And essentially, the whole book is about that. Romans 5 through 8, the sanctification section, a lot of people would interpret that to mean if you're truly justified, you're going to be sanctified. You're going to live out the Christian life. And so the reason Romans 5 through 8 is there is kind of telling us if we're truly justified, if we've truly believed, which, you know, that song... how does it go? The one who truly believes, we sing it from time to time.
God be the glory, right?
To God be the glory. The vilest offender who truly believes.
Yeah.
I sing the vilest offender who simply believes. There is no truly believe. Mm-hmm. You either believe or you don't believe. But anyway, maybe we should read a few verses from Romans 1, and then we'll talk about Hodges' view.
Yeah.
But start in 16, I guess.
16, okay. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them.
Okay, and we could go on. It goes on to talk about homosexuality, for example, and it says that's part of the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Not that
you might need to clarify, what is wrath referring to, hell here, or is it something temporal in time?
Yeah, the word wrath is orge in Greek, and it is never used of the lake of fire. Eternal condemnation is never called wrath. And I would think it's probably accurate to say that God's wrath ends once the eternal state begins. Once we have the unbelievers in the lake of fire and the believers on the new earth with the Lord, there is no more wrath.
So even the unbelievers, God's not like perpetually angry at those people in the lake of fire.
They're experiencing justice, but not wrath. Wrath in Scripture always seems to be... The kind of big word is temporal. Temporal means in time. So wrath is always in this life. Even people who right now are in Hades and they're in torment awaiting the great white throne judgment, even those people aren't experiencing wrath. They're just experiencing justice as they await their trial at the great white throne judgment. And so I would say, and Hodges argues in his commentary on Romans, that the wrath here is here and now. And in fact, he goes so far as to say that when he mentions homosexuality, he's not saying homosexuals are going to experience wrath because they're homosexuals. He's saying homosexuality itself is an expression of God's wrath. When people suppress the truth and unrighteousness, it ends up leading to homosexuality, which is not a way to experience the blessing of God. That's a way to experience the curse of God, as well as anything that anyone does that's suppressing the truth. And so it could be an alcoholic, it could be a sex addict, it could be whatever it is. People who are involved in suppressing God's truth are going to experience his wrath. Well, it is true, of course, that unbelievers do that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Unbelievers experience God's wrath a lot. And I don't even think we should think that all unbelievers fall in this Romans 1:18 through 32, because someone like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, we're told he was a devout man, that his prayers and alms ascended to God. His fellow soldiers call him a just, righteous man. Whether he was or not is hard to say, but God calls him devout or godly. The eusebia means either godly or devout. So I don't think he was under the wrath of God. I don't think all unbelievers, nor do I think that all believers are under the wrath of God. But Paul isn't trying to distinguish here. In fact, notice what you read in 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is what we call litotes, or understatement. He's saying, I'm proud of the gospel of Christ. Well, what does he mean by the gospel of Christ? He doesn't mean the message that gives me eternal life. Here in Romans, the gospel of Christ is the power of God for the believer to be saved from God's wrath. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful Free Grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
It's not the salvation of unbelievers, it's the salvation of believers. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And actually Hodges argues in his commentary that most New Testament scholarship today is moving to the view that we should understand the expression shall by faith to modify the just, not to modify shall live. So it's the just by faith shall live. And what Hodges argues is that those who are justified by faith should live the Romans 5 through 8 experience. That's truly living. That's what we're called to do. And then he talks about the wrath of God that's poured out. Well, the wrath of God is poured out upon the believer who is not living. Look at Romans 8:6 for a minute. This is a favorite verse of mine, and then I'll get to something from Hodges' commentary on Romans. But what does Romans 8:6 say?
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
So he's talking to believers there. And he's saying, look, if we as believers are carnally minded, then we're on the path of death. That's the path of wrath. But if we're spiritually minded, we're on the path of life and peace. The wrath of God from Romans 1:18 through 32 is this death spoken of in Romans 8:6. And maybe I can read something from Hodges' commentary on Romans. John Niemela and I wrote the footnotes because Zane went to be with the Lord before he finished. He was in the middle of chapter 14 when he finished, so I ended up writing the last part of 14, 15, 16. And John Niemela and I wrote most of the notes. There were a few from Zane, but mostly from us. Here's what John Niemela said. He said, a slightly amplified rendering of a portion of verse 16 should clarify. The good news is the power of God for deliverance available for everyone who believes. And then John Niemela continues, Paul does not say the gospel delivers all believers. Rather, he says that God makes deliverance from present wrath available to all believers. All believers possess justification unto everlasting life, Romans 5:18, but not all experience deliverance from present wrath. So in answer to Larry's question, yeah, the people mentioned in Romans 1:18 through 32 certainly don't sound like people in fellowship with God. Well, they're not.
Yeah.
But if we hold the view that all believers are always in fellowship with God, then we don't know where we're going when we die, right? Because
right.
that means if we're ever out of fellowship with God, now we've lost our assurance.
Right.
So if you're going to say that the people in Romans 1:18 through 32 are probably unbelievers, then what do you do when you get an argument with your wife and you yell at her?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe worse, you throw something down and break it. But the thing about it is, if I tied my assurance of salvation to that, I would say, I don't think a born-again person could, how could you do that? Now, I'm sure none of our listeners have ever done that, and I'm not advocating this, but here's my point. If at a point in your Christian life you do things, road rage, whatever it is, well, that's a lot like the things mentioned in this passage.
Yeah, there's envy, strife, deceit,
yeah.
disobedient to parents.
Yeah.
It's not just what we consider like bad sexual sins, right?
Right. And so we need to realize that, yes, believers need deliverance from God's wrath.
Yeah.
Not if you're in fellowship with God. But read Luke 15. The prodigal son was experiencing the wrath of God when he was in the far country. He had to come back to experience life and peace. He had eternal life, but he wasn't experiencing it. He wasn't experiencing the life that God wanted him to experience because he was in the far country. So great question, Larry, and I would encourage all of you to get Zane Hodges' commentary. It's called Romans, Deliverance from Wrath. So if you want more on this, you might go to our website, faithalone.org, and we have a number of articles on Romans and even on the wrath of God and the wrath of God in Romans 1:18 through 32. Go to faithalone.org and just click on the little magnifying glass,
the search button. Yeah.
And just type in your question and you will get that. But great question, Larry, and let's all keep
grace
in.
Focus.
Thank you.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On our next episode, Mark 16:16, a big question about the necessity of baptism. Join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.